Let me just pick up with my story with my dad. I have been speaking a little bit about this, and it helps me, is that my dad learned how to show affection to me. As much as I was able to demonstrate my love to him, I became the recipient of his affections. And it was amazing, you know. And I was a teenager. I had a go. I had nothing to lose. And I had the hose pipe in my hand. I want to talk about communication. Keep talking. And I want to talk about conflict. So I'm going to push. Can I push? For so many, communication is a struggle. It's a reality. It's a common thing everywhere. Most relationships struggle with communication. Others find it easy. We don't all communicate about everything that we should talk about. There's some things we don't like talking about. And some people are easier to talk about things and others find it harder, et cetera, et cetera. And we can blame all sorts of stuff. And you can read that little intro there. But here's the deal. Whether you're good or bad as a communicator, one way or the other, you're communicating. And that you find as a reality, and sometimes it can be unhelpful for us. And what you do is you start realizing communication can either be a bridge between us or it can break down. It can encourage us or it can discourage us. That's what communication does. And in many ways, communication is the key bridge in a life towards intimacy. Always remember the big R. That's what we're after. So some people say, oh, my marriage is falling apart, a relationship not working, it's communication. I do not believe that. I believe communication is a symptom of the stuff that's gone before this. Rather than blaming communication as the problem, it's not the problem, it's symptomatic. And so I really do think on the basis of that, we can fix more than we realize. And communication helps us do that, and that's a wonderful thing. And it's not a science, you know. It's more like an art form, which makes it easier. We can have a go. We can try. It can be much more fluid. So there's no real formula to it, but we can develop the art of communication. And we have to recover this because it is the language of intimacy. Communication helps us communicate intimacy with each other. And we should try and use it as a healthy daily habit in our lives. So the reason why we're not good at communication, we live lives that are way too busy, which means we don't have enough time to communicate. We're too complacent. In other words, we don't make enough effort. That's just the way I'll be honest. I'm just tired of people saying it's just the way I am. You can make that excuse and just become nothing. Or you can go, actually, I'm not that way. Make the effort. I'm going to make the effort, you know. Or we're too shallow with our communication. And that's because there's not enough depth of growth in our lives. We must own everything individually. Or we're too distracted. I'm going to recommend a book. Can I recommend a book? It's a book called Stolen Focus. It's written by an unbelievable journalist. His name is John, J-O-H-A-N-N, and his surname is Rami, R-A-M-I. He's English. He's done some unbelievable journalism, and he writes this book called Stolen Focus. I want to tell you something. This will revolutionize. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm trying to do Russian, guys. It's not working well. We are living in a world that has never been as distracted as this time we live in. And our enemy is a little thing called an iPhone or a Samsung version of that. No, and I'm sure they're good. I'm not going to say any more of this. We are not paying attention. When last did you have a conversation with your kids without a phone in their hands? When last did you have a conversation with each other without a phone next to you? When last did you SMS someone or WhatsApp them? We're in trouble. It's affecting us. There are three phases of communication. What we say, which is verbal, which is 15% of what happens when we communicate. How we say it, which is tone. I can say, I love you. Or I can go, I love you. You know what I mean? The lips are for effect. Because body language is what we do when we say what we're saying. Is the most influential part of communication. Isn't that interesting? So we go, they're not listening. It's because you're not saying it properly. They're reading it wrong. They're hearing it wrong. It's so much. It's complicated, but again, it's simple. So you've got to be aware of yourself. What you do is communicating more to the person you want to speak to than what you're saying. Why are you looking at me like that? What do you mean I'm looking? You see? You're saying that again. I'm not saying anything. Yeah, but you are. Give them the hairy eyeball. It's incredible. It's such a powerful thing. It's a gift we have. We must use it. I think it's a God-given resource that we underutilize. So we need to learn to listen. So communication is not what we say only. It's also about what we hear. And thinking about what we want to say before the other person has finished talking is not listening. So there are three A's when it comes to listening. I'm doing a very basic version of this, and it is a helpful tool. One, if you want to give this gift to your partner, communicating properly is a gift you give to somebody. You're saying, I am present. To be present, you have to be available. To be present, you have to create the right atmosphere. Don't want to talk about something in the wrong place. In with the wrong lights. In a car. At the table with the wrong people. Be smart. Create the right atmosphere to be present. And we have to show complete acceptance. When we communicate, you sort of got to get over your ego and stop saying everything so that it's about me. You know, it's like, I love talking about me, man. You know, I just want you to know I'm an amazing person. And trying to weave every story we have about me. So exhausting. So here's some steps we can take towards intimate communication. We need to learn to talk about the little things, which we like cliche. So how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. How's the weather? Oh, it's not too bad. Pretoria weather's what? Nice. It's a bit dry in winter, but you know, not too bad. Otherwise, every other day is a little bit warm. On the east, it's perfect. In the west, they're struggling, the poor people. And we need to learn to chat through our day, which is like a reporting thing. So how's your day? It was good. I must tell you what happened. As I was crossing the road, and I was going to come and be romantic to you, someone rode straight past me on a bicycle. And I just chased that oak. But he goes to CrossFit, man. And I couldn't keep up with him. But not too bad. It wasn't too bad. It was a nice day, a nice sandwich. How was your day? Oh, not too bad. You know, I was having a sandwich and a guy rode straight past me on a bicycle and whistled at me. What kind of bicycle was that? And then we need to give our opinions. Opinions are important. But there are opinions. You know, opinion is neither right or wrong. You know that, eh? You're very opinionated. Or you could say, you're rather right or wrong, neither right or wrong, you know. But when you start sharing at that level, things start changing in your relationship. something happens. Not a lot of people share their point of view with their partner. Did you know that? And then another thing we need to do is we need to start risking to share. We need to start making our feelings known. You know, as soon as Leanne says to me, I'm feeling sad, she says, I'm feeling mad. Oh, I duck for cover, boy. You never know. She mad at me. I'm feeling glad. As soon as someone says something like that, they share a feeling, it draws us in. You know, not a lot of people share their feelings. Because of a lot of stuff that's not resolved. And then at some stage we need to bleed a little. I call it bleed a little. That's the hard part. It's like disclose courageous vulnerability. We need to do that. Did you know 90% of all communication that happens between couples happens in number one? And we wonder why we're in trouble. The balance, the 10% is all the other stuff. I reckon we could do better. You think, oh, Brett, that's a bit of a stiff. I don't think that's right. Okay, then just monitor yourselves for a week. Monitor yourselves with your kids if you've got kids. With your parents, monitor. See what's going on. With your friends. See where it goes. So can we do better? Absolutely. We have to. It's the journey towards intimacy. We have to do that. We need to break through the obstacles that prevent communication. Attitudes of boredom, defensiveness, listening to the stuff that we want to hear. You know? We need to break those wrong habits of language, the accusatory language. I find it very hard. You always, when someone says you always, I go, I've got to get over myself because I know always. I've got to get over myself. We've got to change our language. We've got to stop using language that differs from us and puts other people in a trap where they don't know what to do, where they feel like they're completely responsible for everything that's going to go wrong. Or anonymous, you know the royal we? We have decided to buy the most beautiful golf clubs. Oh, have we? When did we make that decision? Dear, you won't believe the wonderful decision we made. It is remarkable. We're moving to Madagascar. You're going to love it. Yeah, you know exactly what's coming next, eh? You're going to have such a lovely time there by yourself, dear. Do you write to me? We need to watch our language. We have to learn to tell the truth. We have to be truth tellers. A half truth is a half lie. And why are they called white lies? Is that a racial thing? Is that too soon? What is that? What is a white lie, for goodness sake? It's called a lie. Why put a cut? Why on that yellow lie? Oh, it's such a green lie. A purple lie is very bad. A pink lie is not too bad. It's like a feminine lie. But you know, pink is neutral now. I'm moving on. We need to be gracious with our words. You know what grace does? Sets us free. Grace. Oh, man. That's my weak point, Dad. I want to do so much better. The scriptures say, season your words with grace. That every, wouldn't it be amazing that every word that comes out of our mouths to each other has got life in it. Freedom. On our lips is life and death. Phew. We don't realize that. And we say such dumb things and such hard things. And once it's said, you can't suck back the word. It's out. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Who wrote that dumb poem? Seriously. Am I, something wrong with that person? They're the most damaging things. And we need to think before we speak. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Wow. Just don't say it then. Just keep your words in. I keep saying, just keep your words in, Brett. No one wants to hear what you got to say. You're not as important as you think you are. Keep your words in. You don't want to say something that they regret and that you'll never recover from. Keep your words in. And you know, words have been said to us that have trapped some of you. Some of us here because someone said something stupid over your life, something dumb, and they didn't even know it. And we have been struggling our whole life because they couldn't keep it in. And we were quick to listen. And we heard it. And so that's a very powerful thing. God's word is full of help, guys. It's full of help. Helps us in the ordinary spaces of life. So the power of good communication, it helps us make great decisions. It builds amazing friendships. It develops intimacy. It helps us resolve conflict, and it grows our sexual relationship. We should communicate with each other the way we want to be communicated with. So we're going to talk about conflict, if I can. And I just want to say this. This is a very excellent little exercise you can do. At the bottom of there, I said put together a budget. I mean, this course should really get you talking. If you go back and do your homework, it should really get you talking about stuff you really don't talk about. I know there are two things that we don't like talking about in marriage. Money and sex. I don't know why. We just don't. You know? Remember this phrase. The issue is not the issue. Like I said earlier, I asked, has anybody have conflict? There was like an incredible response. You'll never resolve conflict properly if we don't get all this other stuff right. And I'm not saying I'm the genius here. I just know conflict is complicated. And conflict isn't just like drama or trauma. It's complicated. It impacts people deeply. And sometimes it just doesn't want to go away. And we don't know why. And we just know why we're always at the same place. And I think there is a way to overcome conflict. I want to encourage you. I'm going to quickly go through this conflict thing. And most of what I'm going to say is like a quick summary of everything I've tried to teach you. There's a guarantee if two people are in a relationship, there'll be conflict. It's a guarantee. Not all conflict is bad. And not all conflict is good. And it is possible to resolve conflict. The thing is this, most of us are conflict adverse. We just don't like conflict. It's like awkward. You know when you're having a, there's just like, you know when you bought that thing you shouldn't have bought, those golf clubs we bought, remember those? And you're in trouble. And it just won't go away because every time you do something, the golf clubs come up. And it's like you get this funny feeling in your soul about it. It's like, how are we going to fix that? I know golf clubs are not a big issue. Sometimes. But there are those things. It could be anything. It could be your mother-in-law. Was mine. My problem with my mother-in-law, she used to park a broom at the front door and no one could get through the front door. But we're over that. We need to draw on every single relational resource we have so that we can be the best conflict resolvers possible. Come on, man, we can do this. You know, it's like you leave some, you don't deal with conflict, it's like putting it under a mat. You walk past, it's fine, eh? Don't feel it. But you know, so you go, eh? And it's unresolved, so you keep putting it under there. And you, oh, yeah, that stuff. You keep going. Then it gets so big, you know what you do? Walk around it. Dinner for one. I stole it from there. You saw that, eh? I'm a thief. The causes of conflict cannot be ignored. Needs or wants that remain unfulfilled. Conflict. Poor communication results in conflict. Unrealistic expectations. Conflict. Minor differences that go unresolved. Conflict. So, non-negotiable adult awareness is the winner here. It's the ref. So these are the things we have to watch when dealing with conflict. Closed-mindedness. Having or exhibiting a closed mind to the issue that's in front of you. And always remember, the issue is not the issue. Always remember that. Secondly, unresolved history creates barriers of entry to deal with this. So how are you going to resolve that issue when you've got other issues? That issue is important, but these issues are unresolved. So it's like, so my best is take your time, fix it. Fix it all, if you can. Another one is avoidance. And what that means is we avoid the real issue. The issue is never the issue. I've learned that over the years. The issue is never the issue. What's the issue? Manipulation. So you manipulate the people around you so it suits you. Very common thing. Presumption. Trying to read, I know what you're thinking. I don't. I haven't the faintest idea. You know, when people say, I know what you think. I go, I'll give you $1,000. I bet you don't. I don't even know what I'm thinking. How's it going to work? How do we know? I mean, I know Leanne. I know Leanne well. I haven't the faintest idea what's going in the head. But I go, I'm a smarty. And I think, I've watched these patterns over the years. I know exactly what she's thinking. I don't. I do not. We do not. Give that up. It'll save you a lot of unnecessary stress. Ambiguity. Not having one obvious meaning in a conversation. Sending double messages all the time. We're masters at deception. No one wants to be called out. It's like the original creation. They went and bit this fruit. And so she bit it. And then God says, sir, who bit the fruit? Oh, it wasn't me. It was her. And she says, it wasn't me. She blamed the snake. And the poor snake, he didn't have a leg to stand on. You know what I mean? Got you there. I pulled you in slowly, eh? The downside to unresolved conflict is the emotional hold it has over us. The lack of luster for life or living, sadness, constant anger, grief, shame, a constant need for closure. These things like sap us with unresolved conflict. So it's a real issue. And unresolved conflict will affect our self-esteem. It'll increase our frustration levels. And if it increases our frustration levels, it'll kick our anger levels in. And it'll expose our hurts. That's that weird thing about frustration. It like pulls on all these other things. We've got lots of little cousins in our emotional bank. And they're very close. And they like hanging around together. And unresolved conflict can create unreasonable fear in us. Because we don't know what it is. We think we know it is, but it's not being resolved. Then we go, oh, I wonder what it is. It's like a hectic thing. So don't leave it unresolved. And then anger adds to the problem. Never adds to the solution. Just doesn't. So conflict can be used as a bridge builder because it can, you know, reconnect and reunite people together. That's what conflict can do. Because conflict can be good. Or conflict can blow up the bridge and keep us apart. That's what it can do. So the difference between an argument and a discussion is the end result. So the keys to resolving conflict are not found in a method, but in the following. Number one, a healthy self-esteem. Is this okay? Yeah. This is okay. It's like practical stuff. I'm gonna do like a little drawing now. Eh? I'm getting ready. I'm going to press my little button there. Oh, dear. Thank you. Healthy self-esteem. Unconditional love. Remember? We're going to love hard. We're going to be 100. We're going to love hard. And remember, unconditional love requires us to be sacrificial. That's what unconditional is. Sacrificial. It's commitment. It's wholeheartedness. It's effective action. It's like it's all in. It also requires unreserved forgiveness. When you're going to go into conflict resolution, these things have got to be in your mind. I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to be accepting. I'm going to be unconditional in my love. And I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to be desperate Dan here. I'm going to love myself so I can love them. So take your time. Oh, Pastor, please, please, please. My marriage is a mess. I need your help urgently. Okay, buddy, I'll help you with pleasure. One, how long have you been married? 15 years. Okay, listen, I've got a cough. I've got to go. I cannot fix your problem of 15 years in a phone call. Phone me tomorrow. I'll set up an appointment in a month's time when I've got a gap, and we'll talk. Yeah, but. In the meantime, I'm going to give you two things to do. Start loving yourself, man, and start being honest with yourself. It's not them. It's generally us. The third thing or fourth thing is, remember, you have a friendship with this person. This is very important. Remember, we are friends. And friends don't just break up because there's a problem. Friends sort it out. And friends grow even when there's drama. And friends pick us up when we fall down. And friends cry with us. And laugh with us. That's what friends are. Remember, we're friends. And then here's the big one. Always adult. So when we try and resolve conflict, it's very important that we address the issues. So I'm going to draw a line. And let's do this. This is C for conflict, okay? And it's nasty, man. It's like... I'd give a devil horns, but I don't know where to put those horns. And this is person A, lady, and check the hair. And this is the okey pokey, okay? Remember, the key is to deal with what? The issue, Can you just think what's going through your mind right now? You're going, what? What do you mean? It's their fault. It's not their fault. Conflict is conflict. What is the issue? Why do we always make the person the issue when the issue is not the issue? The issue is not the person. The issue is the issue. And what we do is we do this. We like aim each other. And so we think, if I can resolve conflict, I've got to sort this person out. You're not going to sort anything out. You're going to go to war. That's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to go to war on the issue together. So, what is the problem? What is the issue? Who owns the problem? Okay, it's me. But I own the problem. But the problem is not me. The problem is the problem. We gotta dehumanize the conflict. Does that make sense to you? Because we're going to get tangled up in stuff that is going to be destructive. And what we're doing is we're making the conflict the issue, not our whole marriage. So you've got something going on and we think our whole marriage is falling apart and we're a mess. We don't like, you see, I knew we shouldn't have got married. I mean, what the heck are you talking about? It's bedtime, man. I got Eros going on right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? We make conflict everything. We got to put it in its place. We got to take control. We can't let it run rampant in our lives. We got to fix the issue. And sometimes it takes two to fix the issue. It'll take us both to nail it. The problem is the problem. Deal with the problem. This is what we should do. I'll show you how fancy this little thing is, eh? Okay. I rub that little. Oh, shame, man. I knocked a little lady off. Okay, I'll put her back. I'll give her a better dress now. And a lacquer hairstyle. How's that? She is. What happened? When you resolve conflict, boy. This is a prophetic picture. I own the problem. It's me. This is the problem. Let's deal with the problem. Change the arrows, man. Just change it. What is the solution? If there's a problem, there has to be a solution. How do you work out the solution? Treat it properly. You see, when we leave it too long, it becomes impossible for us to think that we can sort this problem out. And I'm going to tell you a story. Oh, man, I'm finished. What's the solution? Conflict resolution is a process. It takes time, so let's give it the necessary time. And often it'll press other buttons. You need to be practical, which means, yeah, very good. Set aside time to fix the problem. You don't have to try and resolve conflict every single day. I mean, that is so exhausting because the problem then becomes not the problem. Don't talk about it every night. Why? You know what the problem is. Yeah. Okay, we're working on it. Okay. Tomorrow night, can we just talk about it? Just fix it. If you can't, like, okay, well, you know, I've met people who like go into the hours of the morning. You see them the next morning, they've got like hanging eyes here. They look like they've been hitting it, eh? Properly. They should have. Actually, it might have helped. You know what I mean? A little wine for fun or whatever. It is not, we're not capable of being able to solve something. We don't have the brain. Just like spending hours and hours. We get fatigued. We're tired. We've got children. We've got dogs. We've got cats. We've got frogs in the garden. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. And your brain, you're going, I'm tired and I've got to go to work. And a little problem causes chaos. So it takes a limited time, 45 minutes, 35 minutes. And if you haven't come to a solution, okay, babe, let's have a glass of wine or You want to watch a movie? Just don't watch Equalizer 3. You know what I mean? And never lose sight of the big picture. We're in this journey. We're on the journey of intimacy. Always prepared to demonstrate love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Always remain adult. Never sweep the stuff under the carpet. Here's those. I'm not going to read all those. I was going to tell a story, and I've forgotten what the story was. Okay. I'm done. Is that right? Okay. For those of you who have conflict and it's not working, it's like ugly relational tension. You go, oh, we got conflict. We can't be married. We need to get divorced. I think you jumped the gun. Slow down, man. Have a breath. Go. Breathe. I don't know what you do to relax here up in Pretoria, in Durban. You know, we got humidity. They got massive marijuana plants and burn them. The westerly blows over our houses, helps us. I joke not, eh? All of a sudden, all these oaks are moving from Pretoria, eh? But you got to just keep the big picture. If you can't fix your problem, it's in this list, get help. And I'm going to be honest and know, it's not a pastor's job, this. Not all pastors are wired to do this stuff. I remember the story. Okay, so just when I thought I'd lost my marbles. So, I mean, I was doing tons of marriage counseling, and I get this message from this Irk friend saying, listen, this guy's going to phone you, Brett. I said, who's this guy? Oh, he's a mate of mine. Hey, not even 5 minutes later, the guy's phoning me. He said, hi, my name's Greg. I know you counsel so-and-so, and they said their life is lacquer. He's like, his tone is getting more and more melancholy on the phone. I thought, oh, I wonder if he's going to like strangle himself with a cord. Because we didn't have cell phones in those days. We had cords. I thought, oh my gosh. My wife and I, we want to get divorced, but he said we should come see you. So can we come see you tomorrow night, please? I said, okay. I told Leanne. I got this couple. I don't know who they are. They're going to pitch up. And they're away from the convoy. The Oki pitches up. The man, he pitches up first. Says, how's it? My name's Greg. Shakes my hand. And I'm gonna counsel this couple, you know? And I'm gonna change their lives, man. I'm Captain Marmot. I put their chairs together in front of me. He walks and grabs the chair. And he puts the chair on the furthest part of my office possible. I thought, okay, this is gonna be fun, eh? She walks in. Doesn't even look at him, says hello like this to me, grabs the chair, I'm not lying, and puts it on the other side of the room. And I'm going, I don't have like an alarm for security. They're blocking the door. And you can feel hate. Just like, and I'm going, I got my little book. And I know nothing in here is going to help them. I don't know what to say. So I go, so what's the problem? They don't talk. I'm going, inside I'm going, so why are you here? I'm being very brave inside. See, now, this hasn't worked. You can see they hate each other. So I go, oh, okay. I thought, oh, I know something. They need a referee. So I thought, if I spend too much time, they must probably both murder me. I just said, can I just do something, please? I leant back so I could sort of see them both. It's quite hard. I said, I'm just going to give you a little tool. This is how it works. You just have to be adult. I didn't even tell them about child or parent. An adult is always objective. An adult is always realistic. An adult is always rational. And an adult always has the appropriate words to say and behavior. Okay, cool, man. I'll see you guys. They got up. She left. He left. They didn't even put the chairs together. So I thought, oh, man. Yeah. I put my ninja outfit in and I followed them down in the shadows of the wall. I wanted to see what was going on. Their cars were parked opposite each other. And they walked around opposite one of their cars. And I'm like, watching this. I can't hear what they're saying. They're talking. They nod their heads. They get in their cars and they drive away. And I go, phew. It was terrible. I felt so exhausted. Get a phone call. It's Greg. Can we come see you? Oh, no. This is going to kill me, man. I said, yeah, sure. Can you come next week? Yes, of course. I put the chair where it was. I put that there. Dead serious. They walk in, holding hands. I didn't know what to say. I didn't really say anything. I said four things. And they heard it. And over a car, they said, okay, we will do that. If that's our last hit, we will do that. And they did it for a week. And they fixed their problem. And they fell madly in love. And they had children, had a family. Isn't that remarkable? And I think back on that and I go, man, if they can fix that, anyone can. Remarkable. If you want to, you will. Have an unbelievable evening. What's left of it? Drive safely. See you on the roundabout. I'm going to talk about sex, baby.